Soon-to-be Hockey Hall of Famer Mike Modano, who's going to be inducted along with Peter Forsberg, Domina Hasek, Rob Blake, and Bill McCreary. Pat Burns going in as well. Mike, just piggyback on the conversation. I don't know whether you've heard, but Connor McDavid projected to go first or second overall in the National Hockey League draft. Jack Eichel's there,
second.
Too. He broke his... sounds like he's got a fracture in a fight last night. Where do you stand on star players? Obviously, you first overall pick when it comes to dropping the gloves.
Well, it's no mystery. I wasn't a big fan of it. So you wouldn't have found me doing what Connor was doing, that's for sure. I think we were lucky to be in a situation back when we played that we had a lot of guys that did that for us and, appreciated what their protection for us. But it's hard because you have a lot of guys who, in this game now that you don't have anybody really policing the game anymore, your top guys are ones that are asked to fight. I mean, Jamie Benn's fighting a lot, Jerome McGinley fought a lot, your main guys are having to do the bulk of the policing and the scoring and whatnot, so you just don't have that protection anymore.
But you think back, remember LeCavier and Aginla in the Stanley Cup Finals? Out of just pure, raw emotion. It happens.
A little different type of players, though.
Well, they're both superstars. Yeah. They're both superstars.
Yeah. I know, but they had that in them. Like, Mike wouldn't fall into that category.
No, I'm just saying, right? Mike, but it's not just the tough guys. Yeah. Like, it's just raw. I mean, Mike, you've had the way you were checked in your career. There must have been times that you wanted to just
can you recall
deck somebody?
Can you recall any situation in your career where you did that? You fought
Rod Brind'Amour.
Early on in my career, I got a good little dose of that, and I was like, God, I'm never going to do that again. That was over,
do you remember the?
You were too good looking, Mike, though. You didn't,
Do you remember the Do you remember the circumstances and why you felt the need to do that?
Well, I think we just were kind of at each other. I think it was our first year where, everybody was comparing all these guys coming out of that draft year, and we started playing against each other. And, being in our division, we had to play these guys every other day, it seemed like. So, we just got tangled up going up the ice, and then, I just, we took a couple whacks at each other, and then it was like, that was it. And then it was just, two hits after that, he hit me and I hit the ice. And I was like, I'm not doing that ever again.
Yeah, and so, then you found out his nickname was Rod the Bod.
Yeah, then I was like, I found that out too late. So, I can see circumstantial, like Vinny and those guys in the playoffs. It's trying to create some motivation, some momentum for their team, and trying to show that everybody, those guys are into it. Joe Thornton's done it a handful of times. Getzloff has done it a handful of times. So. Yeah. I know everybody's holding their breath when these guys are fighting these guys because, you don't want things like to happen.
Totally. Totally.
Mike Modano is with us, about to go into the Hockey Hall of Fame. So you remember your one and only fight. What about the first goal? Who did you score it on, and how did it happen?
Glenn Healy, I think it was.
Oh, that's
surprise!
Great.
Surprise!
Great.
You know how many
great
guys
info.
Scored their,
thank you for that.
How many guys scored their first goal against Glenn Healy? A ton of guys.
I think there was a lot. Yeah, I think there was a lot. So my first game in Minnesota against the Islanders, and just a real innocent play, just kind of came over the blue line. I had a little bit of a screen, and I think it caught Glenn high on the shoulder, and
the wrister, right?
So it was just a little wrister,
a little wrister.
You always remember the first one, that's for sure.
So you were kind of a unique guy, Michigan guy that went to Prince Albert to play major junior.
Yeah.
What you think back to those, that decision-making process, you see all these young American kids. I mean, you see the NCAA, the way it's come on. We see junior developing. What went into your thinking at that time? Was it strictly NHL, Mike?
I think it was just competition. I knew I was a little bit too young to get recruited to college. And, like now they have all those junior leagues, the North American Junior League and the USHL, and things that you, opportunities to go play. And before you can do a little interim before you make a decision on college and still go juniors later on. But, we didn't have that luxury of those other chances to do those, make those decisions. So I knew I just wanted to go play somewhere. I didn't care. It didn't matter to me where Prince Albert was. And once I got that call from Rick Wilson, I was on a plane a week later and heading up there. So I was just excited to play and, you know, go to Canada. And I knew the game was going to be hard, difficult to play. And the circumstances up there in Western Canada, the way, pretty competitive. Obviously, the passion the fans have for hockey up there is something I never really realized was so strong until I got there. So it was a great learning situation for me, and having some great players and great coaches that were with me for a long time, even after PA. So it was a great experience for me, one that I think it was just great. I just wanted to play hockey. That's all I wanted to do.
Was it your draft year that you got hit in that All-Star game and hurt your knee bad?
It was the year after that draft. Okay. I went back after, a little contract squabble, of course, and went back and played a little bit and then broke my wrist in the All-Star game.
Oh,
so then,
wrist.
You know, I went right to Minnesota after that, played a couple games in the playoffs against St. Louis when Pierre Paget was my coach still. And then and that was it. Stayed in Minnesota for that summer and trained and got ready.
You know, even though we see first or second overall picks spend the season – as 18-year-olds in the NHL, there's always this adjustment. When you look back at your first year in Minnesota in the early 90s, and your numbers are off the charts in your first year, but do you remember it all, struggling or having issues losing confidence at all? Or was it as easy as it appeared with the numbers that you posted?
There was times that it was difficult. I was just lucky to play with some, guys who made the game look a lot easier than I could imagine when I first got there. I knew that, I just remember that just having no space and no time to make any type of plays. Everything was moving such at a high clip. And, I think the only time you really had any time to do anything was, 4-on-4 or on a power play. So, I mean, it was an adjustment over the years. The first 2-3 months were really tough. I think after that, you kind of learn to do a lot of things at high pace and know your time was limited. But, so I was, it was a learning curve to say the least, but the speed and the toughness of guys was by far, boy, it was just an eye opener for me.
Who's the best player you ever played with?
The best player, I think it's a toss up between Sergei Zubov and Yuri Lehtinen. I'd throw Hully in there too as well, just because some of the goals I'd see him score when I was playing with him, I was like, God, I would have loved to have 8-9 years with Hully as a right winger. But Zubov, just pure skill and talent, raw, just, could do everything and anything you ask him to do. And, but Yuri, one of the more, disciplined, guys that I've ever seen. His work ethic, he did everything so good out there. And, he saved my bacon a lot of nights out there.
Zubov, with his tolerance to hold on to the puck as long as he can without giving it up, turning it over.
And then passing to Mike.
Was unbelievable.
Well, it's like the game was too easy. He wanted to make it difficult. So if he beat the guy or two, he wanted to go back and beat him again and then kind of make sure and delay and suck two or three guys in and then make this great cross-ice pass over three sticks for a breakaway. So it was like... We always had to talk Zuby down. It's not that bad just to make the first play to an open guy. We're going to give it back to you. So, he was beyond whatever saw on the power play and the way his, like you said, Nick, his patience and poise was, he was flatline out there.
So your first overall pick, Stanley Cup, statue in front of the building. How cool is it to get that call that you're going in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
I was driving at the time. So I had to pull over before I went in the ditch. So I was like, I noticed that 416 area code and I knew, it was going to roughly come around noontime in Dallas. So I had just got done running around a little bit and I was heading home. So I just got the call and I knew I had to take the 416 and that was, JD and Pat Quinn on speaker. And, I was just, that call you never expect or you don't think of ever having in your life. But when you get it, it's like, wow, you know, you just feel like you, that's the cherry on everything. Now you feel like you're pretty content with what you've done.
Taking the call is easy, Mike. Figuring out what you say at the when you go up there for your speech, that might be a little bit more difficult.
He thought JD was phoning him to go and play in Columbus.
Well, they've lost nine in a row.
You got the speech all done?
I've been tweaking it and working on it. I've rewritten it about 8 or 9 times. So they've put the time crunch on us. So I got to spit.
What do you get?
What do they want to give you? 5.
Yeah, they're saying 5 to 7, which is kind of on the rough end, but everybody's right. Usually about 9 to 10 and stuff, so they give a little leeway. I got to give about 3 or 4 minutes in there for crying and bawling and trying to spit out words.
Yeah,
but,
I see you as a crier.
Yeah.
Up there. you're an emotional guy. Yeah. I don't mean that as a shot. I mean, you're an emotional guy.
Something happened as I got older. I don't know. Things become more meaningful, and you cry over movies. You cry when my dog's hurt and limping around. I was like, God, this is getting sad.
You got to get Brett Hull's speechwriter. He was unbelievable.
He was good.
Hey,
make sure you throw in a thank you to Doug McLean for all those career points against Columbus.
Brett doesn't need a speechwriter. He does it. He does it all on his own. Hey, you're not going to thank those ambulance attendants, though, are you?
No, the medics aren't getting any thank yous.
Good. Congratulations. Yeah. We've been following you since your days in Prince Albert and right on through, and this is much deserved. 1,374 points, 561 goals. Mike, I look forward to seeing you when you get into town.
Congrats.
All right. Thank you, guys. Good talking to y'all.